For the sermon this evening, we will think about portions of Isaiah and Matthew, those readings we just had, as well as this hymn, "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come." To start, I reread two verses from that Matthew reading, the top of page 3. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A little bit about Luther and what he wrote, how he did hymns. On the bottom of page 3, you see a little paragraph there. I want to point out a few things there just to start. I just noticed for second service now, too, I have a typo. Notes about the hymns of Luther. So this is Martin Brecht, who wrote a lot about Luther, but a little bit he said about his hymns. Now, these comments are from a different hymn, "Now, Dear Christians, Let Us Now Rejoice." But as we'll see, Luther did the same thing in all his hymns, three things, and this is mentioned in this paragraph. I read that little paragraph. Luther's first hymns were published in separate printings in 1523. Among them certainly was "Dear Christians, Let Us Now Rejoice," one of his most masterful creations. In it, Luther was able to combine three levels. Think about that, three levels. The first stanzas appear to be a personal testimony, and so oftentimes Luther had personal testimony, something about what he saw in himself. Then he connected his personal faith. Look at that. He connected his personal fate, connected himself with nothing less than the cosmic salvation planned by God from all eternity through the incarnation, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. So that's the second thing. He connected himself to Christ and all these things about Christ. And then third, who at the end, as the enthroned one, warns the faithful against the ordinances of men that are incompatible with the treasure of salvation. So Luther oftentimes shows this is what our situation is, this is who Christ is, and then oftentimes in his hymns too, he'll say, now stay away from trusting in this, or don't look to that, look to Christ. Don't look to that, look to Christ. Those things that aren't good for salvation. And that last sentence there, this Christological centering is characteristic of many of Luther's hymns. The title will be for all three of these messages. In every age and condition, God's people are preparing for Jesus, with the emphasis this evening is preparing for Jesus, for Jesus. It is easy at Christmas time and other celebrations as well to look to what is this thing doing for me, or having that kind of center focus. And what Luther always was doing in his hymns, and we're going to see that in tonight's hymn, is to put our focus not on me, but on Jesus, to be looking at Jesus. And that is what we need. For we know, last week we might have been sick, and this week we're well. Last week we planned this, in 2 weeks we planned that. Our world is going back and forth. Even the best that we try, if we would just rely upon ourselves, we would be just shaking about, left and right. But when the focus is on Christ, it is what he has done, is what he has accomplished once for all, and that brings a solidity to the preparations for Christmas. This focus on Christ, focused on the promised one, is all over in Scripture. For instance, We'll just look at two places in the Isaiah 9 reading. In Isaiah 9, in the first column, just verse 2, a very familiar verse. It's read oftentimes in Advent and Christmas. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. The people themselves, and it's similar reasoning and similar ideas in the next following passages, the peoples were in trouble. They were in darkness. Of themselves, they didn't produce light. They needed light to come in from the outside and shine into their lives. That is their situation. And this is actually talking about Israel, the people of God. He goes on with several other pictures and phrases in verses 3, 4, and 5. But we get to what is going to solve this? Who is going to turn this around? Or who is the light, according to verse 2? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah, in this prophecy, shows the condition of the people without God, without his salvation. They're in darkness. But there is going to be one who is born, a boy who is born, who is going to be this Prince of Peace, who is going to be the Wonderful Counselor, who is going to be the Everlasting Father, and Mighty God. It's from the outside. It's looking, that is where the foundation is. That's where the light is. Same thing in Matthew 1. And now this brings it down to a very specific situation, doesn't it, with Joseph. Joseph is engaged, and more than engaged, betrothed. It is a contract. It is a promise, the betrothal in the Old Testament and New Testament times. And Mary is pregnant. That's a very solid situation, isn't it? And that means to be stoned, to be killed, if one would carry out the Old Testament rulings for adultery. It says he was a just man, but he was unwilling to put her to shame, so he's going to divorce her quietly. And then what happens? So he has this dilemma. What is he going to do? The angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, and he says to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. You have this situation, this problem, Joseph. But listen, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. First of all, this pregnancy is of God. It's a holy pregnancy. It's a holy being, the Son of God there. She will bear a son, and you shall call him name Jesus. And think of that promise, for he will save his people from their sins. The angel takes Joseph's consternations, worries, off what he needs to do to make the situation right, to what God is going to do in that child to make the situation right. The angel moves Joseph's attention from what am I going to do, what am I going to do, to let God, this is a holy thing from God, a holy child from God, let the child be born, this child, pay attention to it, this child is going to solve the problems, is going to bring forgiveness. Joseph's attention is changed from worrying about the situation, what he must do, to what Christ, this baby to be born, is going to do for him. We look at the verses, from heaven above to earth I come. It's on the back page there, the first six verses. That first verse indicates that this is the angels. Martin Luther wrote these verses. And the way Luther writes this hymn is the angels are talking to the shepherds. From heaven above to earth I come to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say and sing. Notice the colon. What is he going to say and sing? What follows? So now here we know it's taken from the scriptures and paraphrased and made into poetry. To you this night is born a child of Mary, chosen virgin mild. This little child of lowly birth shall be the joy of all the earth. Notice the angel is bringing the attention of the shepherds to the child. This is the Christ, our God most high, who hears your sad and bitter cry. He will himself your Savior be from all your sins to set you free. Echoes of that name, Jesus. He will set his people free. 4. He will on you the gifts bestow, prepared by God for all below, that in his kingdom bright and fair, you may with us his glory share. Look at that. The angel is talking to the shepherds. You're going to share in the glory that we know of God. 5. These are the signs that you shall mark, the swaddling clothes and manger dark. There you will find the infant laid, by whom the heavens and earth were made. Talking about that promise, where to look for Jesus in the manger. Then look at this transition in verse 6. How glad we'll be to find it so. Then with the shepherds let us go. Luther brings in the us. He, along with the singer, you and me. Then with the shepherds let us go to see what God has done in sending us his own dear son. If you go to that insert where the remaining part of the hymn is written, number 7. Now look at that invitation that Martin Luther 500 years ago made to you and me. Verse 7. Come here, my friends, lift up your eyes and see what in the manger lies. Who is this child so young and fair? It is the Christ child lying there. Luther wrote the words for us to think. He's inviting us. Think about Jesus. Look to Jesus. Welcome to earth, O noble guests, through whom the sinful world is blessed. You came to share my misery, that you might share your joy with me. Ah, Lord, there you go. Oftentimes you might hear me talk about the wonderful exchange, a blessed exchange, my misery, my sin, his joy to me. He's exchanging this. 9. Ah, Lord, thou, you created all, how weak you are, so poor and small, that you should choose to lay your head where lowly cattle lately fed, where earth a thousand times as fair and set with gold and jewels rare, it would be far too poor and small, a cradle for the Lord of all. Instead of soft and silken stuff, you have but hay and straw so rough, on which is king so rich and great to be enthroned in royal state. Luther invites us to look at this child looking in the manger, this humble child, and though he has made the universe, he is happy, he is contented to be born this way, to be a savior in this humble way. And Luther invites us to think about that as we sing. 12. And so it pleases you to see this simple truth revealed to me, that worldly honor, wealth, and might are weak and worthless in your sight. Now these next 3 verses, finally, is really about himself and the singer. Now more about our emotions and our life. The whole time, first the angel was singing, speaking, and now Luther was pointing out the child. It was, look to Christ. Look to Christ. Who is he? Verse 13. Ah, dearest child, ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, a quiet chamber set apart, for you to dwell within my heart. My heart for very joy must leap, my lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song. Now Luther says, now I know who Christ is, and the singer knows who Christ is, you and me. And notice verse 14 ends with a colon. That sweetest ancient cradle song, colon, what is that song? Glory to God in highest heaven, who unto us his Son has given, while angels sing with pious mirth, a glad new year to all the earth. Luther wrote hymns for his congregation to sing. And inside these hymns, he put the teachings of Scripture, the good news, the drawing away from looking at my own works or looking at my own sin or looking at whatever might be overpowering me to look to Christ. And looking to Christ, then, he brings different promises and reflections. And then in knowing Christ and looking to Christ, there is joy. There is joy because I know now what is firm and solid. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that in the Scriptures you have inspired many songwriters throughout the years and centuries. We give you thanks for this hymn and so many other hymns of Luther and so many other songwriters as well. And we ask you to bless our singing, that our singing may enrich us because it's full of your word, that our singing may give us a reflection of the joy and hope we have in you. May our singing always of your word and your promises strengthen our faith so that we are good witnesses to others too. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.